I walk out into the space, a 2 by 2 meter square taped onto the floor, wearing my cutest dress with butterfly tension in my tummy. It isn't my intention to look sexy particularly, but I'm going to be on camera for the next 6 hours. There is, of course, always an extent to which a woman's body in a public space is going to be seen as an invitation. The table is already laid out with the props available to be used. Lipstick, fork, rose, candle, mirror, drinking glass, feather, safety pin, brush, bandage, scissors, pen, scarf, scalpel, apple. Taped to the table, next to these, is a note which reads, "Instructions. There are 15 objects on the table that one can use on me as desired. Performance. I am the object. During this period, I take full responsibility." Do I need to tell you that I did not write this note? I suppose I do take full responsibility, though. I mean, I am here, aren't I? Standing still in the middle of this concourse, committed to not moving unless moved for the next 6 hours. That feels like a very long time right now. At first, people walk by, frowning in confusion. Then someone stops and reads the note on the table. They look up at me quizzically, wondering if this is a trick. What am I doing here?
She was a Serbian artist who had the idea in the first place. Of course, an art gallery is a very different place to a train station to do this kind of thing.
Someone else stops and notices the camera. He nods to himself as if this explains what is happening. The breeze through the station is cool on my skin. A group of teenagers passes by, giggling loudly, and the man is jogged from his reverie. He steps up to the table and reads the note. A couple begin to walk in front of the table and he puts up a hand to stop them, gesturing at the camera. They turn to look at me, shrug, and move on. The man considers the various objects before carefully reaching out to take the lipstick and the apple. As he walks towards me, I realise that this is the first time he has actually looked at me. He takes the top off the lipstick and slowly applies it to my lips before placing it on the floor. Gentle pressure on my jaw has me open my mouth and he pushes the apple between my teeth and indicates that I should bite down. He returns the lipstick to the table and exchanges it for the feather. As he walks back towards me, I see that a small group has begun to assemble. Clusters of 2 or 3 people murmuring to each other, wondering what he will do next, what the point of all this is. The feather is light on my arms and across the back of my neck. Behind the apple, I smile at the gentle tickle of the sensation. Is this what is supposed to happen?
It was the last of a series of performance art pieces, each titled Rhythm, with a lower number than the last. This one was Rhythm 0, the final piece. As far as it was possible to go, she said.
I'm jolted out of my pondering by the sound of scissors on cloth. I didn't notice whoever it is collect them from the table. The feather light stroking stops, and I see that the man has dropped it on the floor and is walking away. I feel surprisingly sad to see him go. The scissor-wielding newcomer makes quick work of my dress. I watch it fall in a pool around me, mournfully. The cool air brushes my skin, and I am suddenly aware that I am naked in this space. The teenagers return, still giggling, but seemingly emboldened by my nakedness. They pour some kind of drink into the glass and carry it to me like an offering. One of them tugs the apple from my mouth and holds the glass to my lips. I sip from it gratefully. Further fits of giggles break out in the group, and one of the others pushes his way to the front, seizing the glass. He spits loudly into it and holds it up once more, tipping the mixed liquids into my mouth. As I swallow to keep from choking, he pinches my nipple cruelly, making me splutter. One of the others hands him the rose, and he smirks as he places it between my teeth. Two men walk purposefully to the table together. They seem already to know what is happening and what they intend to do. Were people told? Or invited? Or have they just watched for a while and so understand that they can do whatever they want? One of them takes the scarf from the table, the other the pen. Their presence seems to sap the bravado from the teenagers, and they slink away once more. The scarf is wrapped carefully around my neck three times, with the ends trailing down my shoulder blades. One of the men holds my chin in his hand and kisses me deeply as the ends of the scarf are pulled tighter. I stare, a mute porphyria, wondering when or if they will stop. Both the tightening coils around my neck and the tongue probing my mouth cease in the same moment, and I gasp. I hear laughter from the crowd that has gathered.
The security guards in the art gallery did intervene at one point, though. One of the objects on the table was a gun. Someone took it and held it to her head.
The men murmur to each other, appraising my body. One begins to walk around me, pinching in different places. My hips, the tops of my thighs, just below my ribs. When he reaches my front, I see that he is marking each area squeezed between his fingers with the pen. He lifts each arm in turn, and his fingers dig sharply into the flesh underneath, the thick black lines circling the parts of my body he deems unattractive. From the press of his pen, I know that these are parts that I, too, wish I could change. He turns to what must now be acknowledged as an audience and holds out the marker, gesturing to others to participate in this annotating of my flaws. When she steps forward from the crowd, I am overwhelmed by shame and longing. Assured, clothed, beautiful. I can't bear to be seen like this, let alone to be scrutinized by her. I am, by turns, relieved when she ignores the preferred felt tip, and seized by fear when, instead, she plucks the scalpel from the table. Her hands are cool and steady. She is methodical as she slices
cleanly into me. She circles me slowly, taking the time to visit each set of black marks to rewrite them in my blood. There is no malice in her touch. She seems simply to be doing what needs to be done. Through the shock and fog of the pain, a part of me feels grateful for her attention. These parts of me, marked as they are flaws. I am improved by their removal. She is correcting me. As suddenly as she began, she stops. I panic as she seems to consider simply walking away, but she returns to the table instead. Producing a matchbook from the folds of her coat, she lights the candle. A hush has fallen in the room now. This large space is usually so busy, but even those who don't see what is happening seem to sense the quiet weight of the atmosphere she has created. At the end of the piece, she stood up and walked toward the audience, and they all ran away. They were afraid to have to deal with her as an actual person. Her hand on the back of my neck gently guides me to tilt one way and then the other, as she carefully drips molten wax into each of my wounds. Now my flaws have been removed, she is resealing me. The wax mixes with my blood to leave deep red lines along my arms, my breasts, over my hips, across my ass, the insides of my thighs. After an eternity, I realize she has blown out the candle and is pressed against my back. She slides her fingers smoothly into my cunt. I don't know if there are still other people here any longer. I have disintegrated in her hands. Her fingertips probe me with the same calm insistence with which she cut me open and sealed my wounds. The sound of her fingers slickly pumping into me echoes around us. I don't know if I cry out when I come, but I feel her catch me as I fall and lower me gently to the floor. When I open my eyes, she is holding the mirror up close to my face, peering around it to see my reaction. At first, I have none. I don't see myself in the glass. I don't see anyone. She laughs quietly, and the mirror shifts in her hands, and suddenly, I am visible, after all. I am, after all. The tears stream effortlessly down my cheeks.